Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Rob Cohen, Director of NITAC. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Tom Berkey. So, Rob, you mentioned earlier that your organization awarded the contract on the Chief Information Officer Commodities and Solution, or CIOCS contract, the GOAC contract, just recently. Would you tell us more about this program, and how does it provide CIOs with that flexibility you speak of?
The CIOCS contract just recently awarded was designed to complement the CIOSP3 vehicles. As I said, the CIOSP3 vehicles are really out there to meet those customized, more complex solutions. The CIOCS vehicle is a commercial vehicle with a fixed price environment made up of original equipment manufacturers and value-added resellers that are able to provide not only those products, about the IT products that are needed out there, but also we built in something innovative in developing a more off-site type IT versus an on-site model of IT. So the emphasis here is on software as a service, the cloud type solutions, the managed type services that are coming. That enormous amount of talk out there about what this is a big challenge. How are we going to do this? So we wanted to set up a vehicle that the government was going to be able to come to get these needs met. So all of these contract holders had to prove that they're going to be able to provide these solutions over the next 10 years. And also to be able to provide those solutions that continue to evolve, and that the mobility and all of those different things that come up, in the cybersecurity arena. So this contract is really about, it's not just about our prime contract holders. It's not just about those 65 prime contract holders who are going to be selling directly to those customers. It's also about developing those relationships with the manufacturers out there. The enormous amount of manufacturers of software in the cybersecurity arena and in every type of arena, including cloud, the Amazon, the Oracle, all those different So we're spending a lot of time talking to them as well. So it's to develop solutions with those people, those manufacturers, so that they can be able to package those solutions in a fixed price environment to be able to sell them through our prime contract holders who've developed relationships with those manufacturers to be able to provide those to our customers. Because there's a lot of challenges around how are we going to buy this cloud? How are we going to buy these managed services? So we're taking on the role and the challenge of working with those manufacturers to develop a mechanism that those things can be bought, and they can be bought fixed price in a flexible environment with efficiencies, and they can be done more quickly. So that's basically the gist of that vehicle, is really to, meet that. I think that challenge that people are really contemplating throughout the government within the acquisition in IT world.
Rob, I've got a two-part question here. What can you tell us about the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, and how can your suite of GWACs, CIOSP3, CIOSP3 Small Business, and CIOCS, assist federal agency CIOs respond properly to their new authority?
Right. So the FITARA legislation just recently passed, and it provides an enormous amount of empowerment to the CIOs throughout the government. But it also it requires those CIOs to be able to report on what's being bought, what types of things are being bought from an IT perspective throughout their departments and agencies. So as I said, we have a system built in place called the Electronic Government Ordering System. We call it EGOS. And that system will be able to capture what customers are buying, what they're paying for those items, and who they're buying them from, so that we can be able to generate those reports, send them to the CIOs, and say, okay, here's everything that you bought through our vehicle. And if they're exclusively using our vehicle, we're basically able to do their reporting for them to be able to show every single thing that they're buying so that they can compare what's happening throughout their department. They can make decisions as to maybe we should be consolidating some of these things and get some better pricing and get some tiered pricing models in here. And how can we move this into being more strategic about how we buy things? So we're trying to do everything that we can to be able to support those CIOs, to provide them with the data they need in order to meet the FITARA regulation requirements. And we'll continue to you know, make changes and do improvements to meet other FATAR requirements that we don't even know that exist yet. I mean, more and more stuff is coming out on a weekly basis on that.
We earlier briefly talked about the new NITAC Assisted Services Acquisition Program. Would you like to expand in further detail about the program and, as an example, maybe the cost of it? I know that's extremely competitive in today's market.
Sure. So the Assisted Acquisition Program within our office just recently started off as a pilot program to support agencies that really were coming to us and saying, hey, we really have a need, to get the full service of contracting to meet these challenges we have. We have these requirements that our own contracting folks are not going to be able to handle, that they're inundated with an enormous amount of buying that's out there. IT procurement is very complex. Mm-hmm. So we started a pilot program and took on a group of customers to set up an infrastructure within our office with highly capable warranted contracting officers who have a specialty in IT. Each one of those contracting officers is partnered with an IT program person in our office. And they work directly with those customers to develop those requirements from the beginning of the acquisition planning right through award and close out of those task orders. So that is sort of a separate entity within our program that we've set up, and we've seen a lot of success with it. We have an enormous amount of interest from the federal government for people wanting to come and use those services. But we're being... our goal isn't to grow and be this huge transaction based operation where we're just taking on every single assisted acquisition that somebody wants us to take on, because our program is based on quality, and it's based on integrity, and we want to make sure that we slowly grow this process and slowly grow the assisted acquisition process, so that every one of those customers who does use this service gets what they want, and they get it done in an efficient and with speed and with accuracy of what they need. So that it takes an enormous amount of day-to-day interaction with those customers and working with them to basically get the award that they need in order to get their the work done that they need at their agency. So the fees associated with that are, we only charge 2%, which is a lot lower than a lot of other agencies charge when it comes to assisted acquisitions. But we're not trying to do this to make money. We're just trying to do this to support our customers. And after careful analysis, that's what we found. We would need just to support the infrastructure that we have to build in order to do that.
Rob, I want to pick up on the concept of growth. And it's my understanding that since its inception, CIO SP3, I think it was 2012, agencies have already awarded some $7 billion through your vehicles. Do you expect that figure to grow exponentially with the addition of the CIO CS and the assisted acquisition?
I do expect it to grow. I mean, at the end of the day, my job isn't to grow this into a $100 billion operation. My goal is to make sure that we continue to support our customers. As I said, we're not a transaction-driven organization. We're a relationship-driven organization. We just want to be there to support those customers who need us and that come to us for that support. So, yes, I do believe that as more and more agencies use these contracts, we find that as one or two contracting officers start to use these contracts within an office, that we see more and more orders. And that's what we want, because we want to be able to build relationships with agencies, build relationships with contracting officers and CIOs, but to deliver that quality service at every level. So it's not about, the goal isn't to grow it. The goal is to maintain and provide that customer service, to provide that quality of service, to continue to build that trust with our customers. And we just believe that if we continue to do that, then we'll continue to be relevant and be able to support them.
Not long ago, federal government agencies were looking for software, infrastructure components, and services. Today, they want ready solutions deployable immediately without operational risk associated with knitting these elements together. Would you tell us how your contract and contract holders are positioned to address this new era of IT solutions?
So if you look at our contract vehicles, you'll see that we don't have hundreds of contract holders on our contract vehicles. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. When we awarded CIO SP3, we took a two to three year outlook on how we were going to do that. We received an enormous amount of proposals from contract holders all over the country, but they all had different capabilities and different experiences. So we spent over a year, making sure that we vetted these companies, that we went through a source selection process to be able to, get the best of the best. So we believe that our contract holders have proven to us and have proven through their experiences and their capabilities and met the requirements that we set out in the initial RFP to design a contract that got to, as I said, the best of the best companies out there that are going to be able to provide those best solutions to our customers. So that's how I think that we're able to do that. I mean, it's not just about you're able to do a certain type of IT. You had to be able to prove that you were able to do, IT in many, many different areas, and you're able to evolve over time, and that you're able to, meet those challenges that maybe we don't even know what they are yet. But to be able to show that you've evolved over time, that you have experience doing that, and that you have an infrastructure within your organization that has proven that it can do this. This is similar with the CIO CS vehicle. This is the only vehicle out there now with this fixed set of 65 contract holders that have proven this enormous amount of capability that they have to meet these needs. None of the other programs out there have that, and I'm proud of that because I want to be able to work with and build partnerships with those companies who I know and I feel confident in, that when they win a task and delivery order for one of our customers, that they're going to be able to deliver.
I'd like to keep on the CIO CS vehicle. And it's my understanding that it's the first time you offer multiple deployment models associated with that vehicle. Would you elaborate on each of those deployment models and the rationale for using them?
Yeah, so that's part of going out and talking with the community, going out and talking with the federal government customers. And we found that there were contracts out there where you could buy products, you could buy the on-premise stuff, you could buy the stuff that you can hold and touch and get it and move on. But we wanted a contract, as I said, with all of our contracts, is solution-based. So we wanted a contract where you could buy those on-premise type things. But we also wanted to make sure that we had a contract that was made up of contract holders that could also do the off-premise stuff, the cloud solutions, the software as a service solutions, those managed services. Very, very important to us, and it's very important to us because it's very, very important to our customers, because they were finding that they would need to go to one vehicle to buy all of the equipment that they needed, and then they'd have to go to another vehicle to buy the cloud infrastructure and the software in order to get stuff done. So we wanted to be able to build a contract that had both of those models built in and had contract holders that were able to deliver both of those models.
In every sector of the economy today, we find that access to and immediacy of information is important from buyer and seller perspectives to rip out unnecessary costs. How are you transforming your value model to be more reflective of a real-time information broker/supplier?
So, as I said, we work very closely with not just our prime contract holders and our customers, but those vast array of manufacturers out there in industry, to be able to develop those types of solutions that our customers are using. But internally within our own program, we're developing our own infrastructure, with developing our own CRM systems. We have our own IT systems, ways to be able to, ensure integrity throughout the process of every single thing that we do. So we're working to get the word out. We're working with you know, doing webcasts and utilizing our website and to try to use every type of mechanism that we can, you know, social media and other types of things, you know, to try to get that word out so that the government knows that that's out there and available for them.
Rob, you are in NIH, so the next question I have and the next couple of questions I have revolve around healthcare. Would you elaborate on the vehicles in your portfolio and the products and services they provide that can be used for healthcare-related efforts?
So all of the contract holders on all of our vehicles had to prove a domain-specific capability in healthcare, in health IT. So what does that mean? You know, as you said, we are housed within NIH. Our first mission is to support the scientists and the doctors in those health efforts that they have. It's not just NIH, it's HHS, there's the DOD health, and many other agencies are involved in the health IT community. So those companies had to show that they have experience in dealing with health IT, meeting those challenges in health IT. Health IT is an enormous field that continues to grow. Just recently, I spent some time at the HIMSS conference in Chicago. And just talking to those companies out there who are trying to develop those technologies to meet those needed the challenges that the government has. You know, they spent time talking to a lot of our contract holders at that conference who attend and are very engaged in the health IT community, very engaged with CMS and all those different agencies, the Office of HHS, you know, and the Office of Health IT, to really develop those relationships to, you know, to understand what are those needs that are coming up with health IT. And as I said, to work with those manufacturers of those types of solutions to ensure that they are available on our vehicles so that our customers can get them.
Do you have a sense of what percentage of task orders are awarded are healthcare related?
I would say we do an enormous amount of work with HHS. It's one of our largest customers, and you know, I would say that 30% or so of that work is done is health IT related. But also we do an awful lot of work with the VHA and the DOD, and they have an enormous amount of efforts in the health IT arena that they are utilizing our vehicle for as well.
How is NITEC using collaboration and partnership to meet its mission? We will ask its director, Rob Cohen, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.